Hello and welcome to Plot Trysts.
This is Lane.
This is Meg.
And today we're reviewing A Governess's Guide to Passion and Peril by Manda Collins.
This was published in 2024 and is the fourth book in the Ladies Most Scandalous series.
And full disclosure, we did receive a complimentary copy for this review?
Yes, we did.
Excellent. So we have read the first three books in this series.
We generally enjoy the series, I would say. It's not, I wouldn't say that it's like number one historical romance series, but it's not bad. We'll talk about how this one fits in with the series. But if you're interested, you can go find those episodes. I will say that I believe you could probably read this as a standalone. There are some portions at the end where there's like kind of an epilogue where they wrap some stuff up. And it's not even wrapping stuff up about the plot. It's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're friends and these people got married in the previous book. You know what I mean?
I do think you have their initial re-meeting as adults in a previous book in the series.
It's literally like less than a paragraph.
I don't care. I would have been sad if I started here and hadn't started earlier. I agree with your point that I don't think reading the earlier books provides any like necessary plot. But if you're somebody who wants to read the entire relationship of the individuals, even that in the previous books, this is one of those series where they do meet in an earlier book.
You met him saying, "Is that Jane? Hey, Jane." That's literally it. They don't talk.
I stand by what I said. Book. I would not start
Lane,
here.
Did you remember that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I would not start here. I'm just saying. I would not start here.
You can start here. Should we read the book jacket?
Sure.
Jane Hallowell once dreamed of a home of her own, but those dreams and her dowry died with her father. Now she works as a governess, preparing her charge for a future no longer within her reach. When her employer is murdered during a house party, however, Jane is forced back into the world of the Ton. But stepping in as hostess will require working with the same lord who once broke her girlish heart.
Lord Adrian Fielding was too consumed with his job at the Foreign Office to pay young Jane much heed, but he always considered her a friend, which is why he's confounded by her icy demeanor now. More troubling still is his desire to melt the tensions between them, but his mentor's murder means he must find the culprit and ensure Jane's safety as she manages a house full of foreign dignitaries.
Only Jane insists on joining the investigation, and Adrian, despite all his diplomatic skills, finds himself seduced by her sharp wit and sparkling eyes.
But with a vicious killer circling ever closer, will it soon be too late for their chance at forever?
Dun dun dun!
Dun dun dun!
It's fine, it's fine. It's perfectly fine. I have no issues with this book jacket, honestly.
Yep.
No issues.
Especially because so much of the plot is trying to be like a mystery.
Right. Exactly.
You definitely want to make sure you've got the premise, but none of the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is absolutely true of this jacket.
That's what happens. Well, as usual, we generated a random number between 1 and 50, and we wrote our own summaries using that number as a word count. And for this episode, the number that was generated was 34. So, I don't know. I'll go ahead and start.
Okay.
My 34-word summary. Who knew that the Foreign Service was a hotbed of rumor, scandal, murder, and mayhem? And I'm not even talking about English foreign policy in the Victorian era. Also, Adrian and Jane fall in love.
Yeah, the setting here does take center stage.
Mm-hmm.
I think to the book's detriment. But it is funny in some ways how shallow the depiction of the Foreign Service still is. Like, the A-plot effectively is this national or international intrigue. Meanwhile, yeah. Like, it's all very surface.
Yeah. But I was like, I mean, I did think it was really funny, actually, because I was like, oh, these, like, and the murderer's ultimate motive, too.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, okay.
Yep.
What's your 34-word summary?
A murder at a house party exposes that a series of mysterious deaths were related crimes. The investigation is the perfect cover for a childhood dream of love to manifest. Nothing really happens, though.
I mean, they figure out the murderer. A lot of people die.
It was just, I kept waiting for a plot.
Yeah, I mean, they're investigating, right? Like, that's it. I don't know. Tropes Lane?
She's got, or she had, a schoolgirl crush on Adrian when her father was stationed in Rome. Mm-hmm. And he's older than her, but not notably so.
Yeah.
But just old enough that her sort of high school years in Rome, he viewed her as too young for him.
Yeah, yeah. There is a makeover moment where she gets to wear some of her old clothes.
Well, and she also borrows the Duchess's clothes and actually also has her new dresses.
It's very nice.
So she, after her father's death at the post in Rome, her and her mother ended up sort of ostracized by society because of the scandalous nature of his death. Mm-hmm. And so while she was raised in these elite and rarefied circles, if not the true aristocracy, she's now, as the book jacket says, you know, working for a living. And the woman of the house is extremely jealous of Jane. It's very evident. And so Jane hasn't had the wardrobe or the cause to dress up as a woman of her station in quite a long time. So the moment where she finally sort of gets to reclaim that was a real, like, makeover montage moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as Lane said, she used to be part of high society, but now, how the mighty have fallen, she's a governess.
Yeah, there's also a lot of forced proximity and excuses to work together. This is a house party that ultimately ends up on lockdown, essentially.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's it's like a murder mystery trope too, right? It's like, mm-hmm. This is the party. These are the suspects. So the suspects are this like small pool of people.
And so it's, I think all of that is extremely tropey, but it'd be very redundant to talk about every moment that comes to pass.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's a relatively short book, I would say. It was a very quick read.
Yeah.
So, that was fun. I don't know, actually, if it was fun, but it wasn't, like, I didn't hate it that it was short. Let's say that.
This didn't do anything novel or memorable, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
but that also means nothing terrible happened.
Right. Yes. So let me start by saying this series has as its conceit, each book has its own mystery. I would say they are almost equal parts mystery and romance. So the mystery forms a very large part of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're solving the mystery, there is a new couple that falls in love. So we're not talking about a mystery where there's a romantic arc that spans 7-8 books, mm-hmm. like in the Lady Sherlock series, right?
Right. They're each discrete mysteries and discrete romances.
Right. So there are recurring characters, but their romance is not the focal point.
Mm-hmm.
In previous books, we have talked about, so each of these books, there have been 4 books in the series, the first book and the third book, it's like the romance started in that book and they didn't know each other before. And we talked about when we reviewed those books, in both cases, we felt like the romance took place over a very short, like truncated time period.
Right.
And it worked for the book, like we liked it. But we were like, oh, they fell in love after like 5 days, you know, 5 days of investigating a murder together. And they're in love. What I did like about this book is that because they knew each other before, and because she even had like a crush on him before, you didn't have to worry about this like truncated time frame. It made sense to me that they would re-encounter each other and realize that they have this shared past, shared understanding, and fall in love. So that part of the romance, I liked.
Well, and even the fact that they bumped into each other, for how insignificant the interaction was, she's been back on his mind, and whether consciously or not, as he started like sort of reevaluating whether he wants to go back to the continent or to remain in England for work, he's sort of started on that pathway of thinking before he met her. So it's not like he made a change or met her again at this event. It's not like he made a whole change to his life plan in 5 days.
Right, right, exactly. So that part I appreciated.
I agree. One of the things I struggle with, though, and I honestly, I don't think the mysteries have been neat enough for me throughout this series. So I recognize I probably sound like I'm beating a dead horse. But in this book, there was a lot of moments where characters had like aha moments and then just forgot they'd had them. For example, he thinks about how when he was in Rome and her father died, he really regretted that he didn't stay to support her and her mother. But then the next thought he has is, oh, it didn't even occur to me to stay. The next conversation they have, I was going on a post and I, you know, didn't think at all that this would be something that would really affect you to the degree it did. So I'm sorry I didn't, you know, I wasn't there to support you, but it didn't occur to me that it would matter. It's like, but you literally just reflected in the last chapter about how it did occur to you that it would matter. And so that's a non-spoilery thing to say, but there were similar moments in the course of the investigation where I felt like somebody had a real insight or perspective that was then just contradicted in the next scene, clearly in the name of like having the narrative unfold the way the author intended, but it didn't feel like an organic extension of the character's thought process.
Yeah. I will say, as a mystery, I have said many times before, I'm sure I will repeat it again on this podcast, that I personally do not need to be able to figure out the mystery. And in fact, prefer that I don't really figure it out by the end.
Oh, and this one, you know, the second the guy's on the page.
Absolutely. Like, I didn't know the very first moment, but the very first moment he talks to Jane, I was like, okay. You know? I was like, that's the guy. That's him.
Yep.
So this may or may not bother you. It didn't bother me, but I do find that the narrative momentum gets pulled back for me if I feel like I'm so much smarter than the characters, right? Like
The problem is you're being told the characters are smart and working through this, but when it's so obvious to you, invariably the characters just seem really dumb.
Right. Right. And so that's the thing, right? That's the thing. And yeah, exactly. So we said it.
That was a struggle here. I just, there wasn't really ever any conflict between Jane and Adrian.
No, like, there wasn't.
The initial like conversation about the way they left things in Rome and why she's being cold. But then the rest of the book is just her like being afraid he wants to be in the Foreign Service while like having to admit she's falling in love with him and him trying to find a good moment to talk to her about his feelings for her when they're not in the middle of solving a crime. And so while I usually love we're just working together on this, there is no angst between the two characters, there was a whole lot of both of them thinking it couldn't work that was just completely unnecessary.
I was going to say,
without the angsty plot, there was the angsty pining.
I was going to say, we usually love it, right?
Yeah.
And they just weren't working together enough either. They were both trying to keep the other one out of it.
Yep.
And I was like, come on, guys, no, like join forces, work together. That's what I want.
Not stay at loggerheads in the name of like just manufacturing conflict.
Yeah.
So I think because of that, when I say like nothing really happened, that's what I mean. The mystery wasn't ever really a mystery. And you were just waiting for them to figure out obvious bad guy was obvious and actually have a conversation where they both said what they were thinking, because then there was going to be no problem and the book was just going to be over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are books that manage to avoid that, right?
Right.
I do think that the three previous books in the series avoid that in different ways. I don't want to paint the entire series with the same brush there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a ton to say about this one. I didn't hate it. I did enjoy reading it. I was telling Lane before we started recording that this felt almost like an afterthought book in the series. like the first three books had this arc or had this idea of what was going to happen. And then because they were popular, she was like, oh, I'll write another one. I'll write a fourth one. Right. And we had this like tiny little moment in that third book where they had this, they didn't even meet
right
in that third book, but you knew that maybe something could happen. And so I think maybe too, the idea wasn't as fleshed out of this one. I mean, I can't know for sure. I'm not in Manda Collins's mind. Right.
Right.
So I'm not 100% sure about that one. It's just how it felt to me.
Can't disagree.
Trigger warnings. I do want to be pretty clear about this one because it's a big trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So her father died by suicide. And it's not only is it a big movement for her past. Like her past has been, her current life has been impacted by this.
Right.
Because not only did he kill himself, he also gambled away all of the family's money. So after his death, there was nothing for them to inherit. So there's this scandal in the family and they don't have any money left. So her father's suicide is the direct cause of her lowered station in the world.
And the way that the news of her father's death has spread throughout the diplomatic community and her world is very gossipy and insidious.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the fact of the suicide itself. It's the direct relation to that on her lowered station. But it's also just how like unkind
mm-hmm.
wider society has been about this as like a point of scandal and discussion. She hasn't really gotten sympathy from anyone.
Right.
And to an extent, including her own mother,
mm-hmm.
who is not like a terrible parent, but who is not, has not prioritized emotionally supporting her throughout this.
Right. So basically it's not just suicide, which on its own, I think is a pretty big trigger warning.
Yes.
It's the way suicide is handled in the text and as a driver really for this plot.
Yes.
And then it is a murder mystery, so there are other people who are murdered, as it says in the book jacket, right? So don't be surprised if you see that. There is gun violence, and I think that's probably it. There are references to her possibly being sexually harassed by previous employers.
Yep.
So it's not explicit. But it is there.
Yep.
Okay. Any other trigger warnings?
I think that's enough.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
I want to state this is a pretty fluffy, easy to read book.
It's a very
we just
book.
Listed a lot of really heavy shit. And like, while I helped make the notes and I was aware of all of it, like hearing it succinctly summarized like that really does make this seem like a darker book than it is.
It's so not. It's like very, very light and fluffy. These are yes. cozy mysteries that have murder and suicide in them.
Yeah.
So there you go. Sexiness Lane.
This was extremely not sexually charged.
Mm-hmm.
For people who have apparently had like the hots for each other for a long time, there was no chemistry.
It was disappointing. It was disappointing. There are two scenes, and they are both they're both short,
and they're both very late.
Yes, and they're both appear late in the text. So I don't know. It's not a closed door romance, but don't go into this thinking that they're gonna have like really charged sexy times, like you say.
It was, honestly, it felt like it was on the page because Manda Collins was like, this is my genre, not because, again, she actually had anything she wanted the sex to achieve.
Yes, it reminds me of that one Julia Quinn book in the Smythe Smith series.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the cutest, sweetest brother's best friend story. And then like at the very end, in like the very last chapter, she's like, oh, yeah, I better put a sex scene in here. So it's not quite that late in the text, but it feels like it.
And I think spiritually, that is the correct comparison. It's in the
same, they're in the same congregation, okay?
Yeah, it's not a sex book.
No, it's not a sex book.
And again, for two people who are on the same page so much, the sex is angstier than it should be.
Yeah. But look, if you have read the series and enjoyed it, I don't think you should skip this entry in it.
I think this has just suffered from the, we didn't have much to say, so yeah. It sounds like we're harping, but like, I totally had fun.
Yep, absolutely. I did too.
It's just an expectations game.
100%.
So, thank you guys so much for listening.
We would love it if you would rate, review, subscribe, and check us out around the internet, wherever you can find plot trysts.